If the game of golf hadn't been a long-standing meet, he would have been at home all day. But the others had insisted he take a break from being a putative daddy because when the twins arrived, he wouldn't be able to swan off and play sports. The driver in front seemed to be anxious to be away. His engine revved several times, and he watched as the man first adjusted his interior mirror, then straightened his wing mirror before combing his hair. The lights changed to green, and the Kia barreled across the junction and away up the main road at an ever-increasing speed. John touched the accelerator, and his BMW moved smoothly forward, following in the wake of the car now some distance in front of him. He trailed the Kia's disappearing taillights until he reached his left turn, leaving him with a 2-minute drive to home. John Coates felt happy. Not deliriously, ecstatically euphoric, simply wrapped in happiness. For one thing, he'd won at golf, and for another, the child he'd longed for had turned out to be two. He felt as though he smiled a lot. It sometimes seemed as if he'd loved Caroline forever, but in reality, they had met 4 years earlier when he had interviewed her for the job of his PA. He knew he would employ her as soon as he saw her. Fortunately, she had been more than qualified for the post, as well as being stunningly attractive. And 2 years later, their wedding had been the talk of Sheffield. They had spoken of having two children, so had bought a house that could accommodate a family of that size easily. It had been a major source of hilarity when the two children were found to be arriving at the same time. His thoughts drifted to the room they had set aside for the nursery, the one overlooking the back garden, decorated in lemon, pink and white, two white cots placed against opposite walls. Winnie the Pooh would enhance the twins' lives, or so Caro had convinced him. He pulled his car onto the drive. Caroline usually came out of the front door, laughing and waiting for him to take her in his arms, but he guessed it was getting to be too much now. With no sign of her, John hoped she was resting on the sofa. The baby bump was huge. The front door was slightly open and he smiled. He knew she would have opened it ready for him coming home. He closed it quietly behind him. If she was asleep, he didn't want to wake her. She had to be finding it so tiring at this late stage of the pregnancy. So many nights he had watched her rubbing the bump, trying to ease the discomfort a little, and very often she could be heard talking to her daughters as they waited to make their entrance into the world, to be with both mummy and daddy. He hung his coat in the cloakroom and headed for the lounge, but she wasn't on the sofa, so he climbed the stairs. She had admitted with a laugh to having what she called nanny naps in the early afternoon, having half an hour in bed to ease the aches and pains caused by the weight she was carrying inside her. He was guessing it had morphed from being a nanny nap into a nanny sleep. He smiled again. She would be mortified at missing his arrival back home. He quietly opened the bedroom door, but the bed was untouched. No sleeping Caroline there. He moved along to the only other room with a bed in it, the guest room, and quietly opened that door. No Caroline. Shit, he mumbled. His thoughts escalated, and he prayed she hadn't gone into labour. He ran downstairs, tripping the last two as he missed his step. He followed the hallway to the far end, to the kitchen. Still no Caroline. And he walked into the dining area, to the French doors. He opened one side and stepped out onto the paved patio. Caro. The word left his mouth as a croak. Louder. Caro! And he ran across to her, then reeled back in disbelief as he rounded the end of the table. His world went silent. His brain, for a second, froze. His first reaction was that someone had tipped over a tin of red paint. But then he saw his wife's head, her body almost totally obscured by the upturned garden table. Caroline was lying on her back, a towel still fastened around her swollen breasts, still damp from the shower she must have been taking when something made her go outside. Bruising was showing on her body, shoe prints, and between her legs two bloodied lumps of flesh. Still unmoving in any way, John dropped to his knees, taking out his phone at the same time. "Ambulance," he gasped. "Police as well. My wife. She's been attacked." He gave his address. He struggled to remember it. He lifted Caroline's head and cradled her.
"I think she's dead."